Welcome to the Tech Data World podcast, the independent voice in aerospace, defense, and space technical information, covering all the news, reviews, gossip, opinion, software, standards, and specifications in the information production and deployment field.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of the TDW podcast. And what delights do I have in store for you on this particular episode? Well, this week, I'm going to talk a little bit about eggs in basket. Now, we're all familiar with this term, and it will all become clear as I work through this particular podcast. I'm going to tell some stories during this podcast because I think that helps kind of exemplify what it is I actually am trying to get across in this one. But one of the main reasons I'm taken into organizations is to replace a system or an environment. And this is often because it's creaking or it's unable to deliver. And you would think that on the face of it, that this was a simple task. And it's not always that obvious and not always a very linear process in terms of replacing a CSDB or replacing an editor or replacing a content management system or an IETP or publishing solution. You get the idea. It's not always that simple. Some of the scenarios that I encounter are kind of what drives what it is that the approach that we take when we go into an organization. And this generally falls into, you know, something like a COTS piece of software is now unable to deliver what our organization needs. And this could be, you know, a technical issue. It could be an technical issue could mean, you know, anything from a bug right up to it's no longer supported on an operating system, right through to it's not able to run in a infrastructural environment anymore. And this is actually quite common. I've been into organizations where they are trying to upgrade from old databases which are no longer supported. And this becomes really, really challenging. Another reason is, you know, this software could be retired. And we see this all the time, especially in something like the S1000D market, where it's contracting all the time. The software vendors out there are becoming fewer and far between. We're seeing some organizations are no longer wanting to invest in innovation in the S1000D sector, or if through acquisition, which we see in lots of sectors, products are decided that they are no longer part of a core offering. They are no longer something that they want to support or get out to their customers. So this software might be retired. This could be another scenario of why we are called into an organization. But of course, if our software lets us down, there are now contracts written more and more for us to incur penalties. So if we don't deliver our information on time and our software lets us down, that has a direct impact on us as a business. And often or not, when I'm called into organizations, it's to replace a piece of software. It's a piece of software that has let organizations down for all of those reasons that I've just talked about. But another scenario, which is not that uncommon, it's becoming less common now, but a few years ago, this was an environment that I can tell you has caused some deep, deep hurt for many organizations, and that is in-house developed solutions. Now, I do talk about this a lot when I go in and speak to organizations. I say, are you a technical publications department or are you a software development house? And I get a very wide range of responses from organizations and from managers and obviously from technical authors, etc. Those that are spending more time actually developing databases or their own schemas or their own style sheets than they are actually getting on and producing technical content. Now, there's a whole wide array of reasons why people will do that, from cost savings right the way to that, you know, that they have the internal skills to do it. The problem comes is that whilst we might believe we are seeing early cost savings, so, you know, we're having somebody internally develop a template, or having somebody internally develop some kind of interactive browser or a database or a content management system, that might reap early rewards. The problem is what happens in the future? What happens in the future when those skills, those people retire, or they leave the organization? Or I have seen organizations get into a battle over intellectual property. You know, if somebody developed something at home in their own time and they've given you a license to use it in the office, are you the owner of that? Can they now start charging you for that? You can see that this becomes a real issue for some organizations, especially in the larger organizations where they get very nervous about licensing and that kind of stuff. Let me give you something that's a little bit more mainstream, something that's affected the decisions that we took here at TDW. Let's think about something like YouTube. Second largest search engine in the world, next to Google. And anybody who creates content or tries to educate people, or most organizations now have a YouTube channel. Now, the problem with that is that it's one platform. And this one platform decided about 12, 18 months ago that they were going to change their terms and conditions. And their terms and conditions overnight prevented a number of YouTubers, or I think they're called professional vloggers or bloggers, they had their revenue, their income streams were essentially switched off overnight, because you had to have a certain amount of subscribers, you had to have a certain number of views before you could start actually monetizing the data that you are putting up there onto YouTube. And overnight it killed a number of people's income, and they had to start thinking about how they could now start making money. So I think you all know what I mean by eggs in one basket. You know, we all know the saying, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And, you know, I've talked about that from a software perspective, you know, putting everything, but why is it so important? Well, I'm going to come on to that. And I'm not suggesting for a moment here that everybody goes off and buys duplicate systems. I'm not saying everybody should buy a CSDB from one vendor and then run off and buy a CSDB from another. I'm not saying you should run off and buy Adobe FrameMaker and then also have Microsoft Word as the backup editor. I'm just, you know, I'm saying stick with me here, and I'm going to give you some scenarios on what it is that I would be doing if I'm sat where you're sat. What I talk about when I go in and speak to people is I say, what is your exit strategy? Now, we all know what we mean by exit strategy when we talk about business, and we talk about business acquisition, and we talk about, you know, how, if we buy something, what's our get out? How are we going to get out? What are our metrics for success that we will then exit this particular relationship? And so that's what I talk about when I talk about exit strategy. And so what I'm saying in this particular scenario is, for your eggs in one basket, what is your exit strategy if that basket is now not able to handle all of your eggs, or all of your eggs are in one basket and you're trying to get them into another basket? I think we seem to have a lot of eggs in this podcast. But so what do we mean? You know, in business terms, we've already talked about that. You know, we try to have, in good, successful business planning, you know, as individuals in our careers, we generally have exit strategies. We, you know, you go from career to career, or employer to employer, and you kind of have a know or an idea of where it is you want to be, where you want to go, what's your progression path. That's an exit strategy. It's the same for software. At what point do you get out? You know, and most importantly, can you get out? this is where we're coming to the crux of the situation in terms of eggs in one basket here. What do I mean by can you get out? Well, when we buy any solution, you know, if I buy a car, if I buy a cooker, if I buy a fridge, if I buy anything, I mentally quickly do some due diligence. Will it fit in my kitchen? Will it fit on my drive? Can I afford to run this car? Can I afford to, do I need such a big fridge? You know, these kind of things. One thing that we don't do is our due diligence up front on a piece of software. And what we see a number of times, and when you go into organizations, is that they are stuck in a software solution. Because a software solution that is professed to be open and supports standards and XML and is generic in the way that it works is never not always that clear. You know, a piece of software could easily be manipulating a piece of content to work in a specific way within their content management system. It may even be working behind the scenes and converting your data without you knowing it into another look and feel or another way that the database can handle it. A great example is SGML. Not many organizations support standard native SGML, and they don't support it because it's so hard to do. So what they do in the background is they convert everything to XML, and then that gives you the ability to work with that information, and then when you want to export it or you want to take it to another environment, in theory, you should be able to do that relatively easily, and you should be able to do it without any hiccup. But that is never, ever the case. I have seen organizations where they have even just tried to exchange simple data modules, and the data modules won't exchange or publish correctly in another person's environment because of things like processing instructions. You know, processing instructions in theory, and I've done tutorials on processing instructions, are something that are kind of benign pieces of XML that are used for platform-specific processing of information. Yet other organizational software solutions will fall over. They will try and interpret these processing instructions, which means they give massive, massive issues to organizations. So this is kind of where that tie-in comes to a piece of software or platform. So for example, you know, if we're using something like Adobe FrameMaker and we create our templates for FrameMaker, that's where they work. You know, that we can't suddenly port those over to PTC Editor or, you know, something along those lines. We have to go off and create another set of style sheets that will work. This is where open standards like CSS and that will come in and help kind of reduce that level of investment. But this is what I mean by it ties you in and you get stuck, because there are ways that software needs to work that doesn't need to be exposed to the end user in order for your data to be processed, managed, and deployed in a successful way. So this causes a huge problem when you start thinking about how you are going to move your information. I get called into organizations all the time, and there's a process trying to migrate data from one system to another, and they uncover these little nuggets of, well, we didn't realize it was putting this or doing this with our data. Now we're having to post-process, or we're having to manumatically go and tidy up the information. So again, I'm not suggesting that everybody rushes out and has duplicate systems. One, because that's just economically not viable, but two, we just won't have the backing of our organizations to do that kind of thing. So what I do suggest is always, always have a vision of the future. Always think about what if. What if I had to get out of this particular environment? Let me come back to the YouTube environment. So I took a decision quite deliberately that I do not like putting my content on third-party platforms. So we have things like LinkedIn, we have things like YouTube, we have things like Twitter and those kind of things. They can change their terms and conditions at the flick of a hat, and I, as a business, can do nothing about it. Of course, we use those platforms because that's where a lot of our contacts frequent. You know, they are on those platforms, and that's how people want to get access to our content. But in the main, we have a backup solution for all of our content that if YouTube decided tomorrow that they were no longer going to support organizations under 500 subscribers, we have an exit strategy. We know what we can do. We know that we have our own streaming server that we actually deploy our information from, and we are in complete control of that, and we have an exit strategy. So do you have an exit strategy? Do you have a plan? And, you know, do you make sure that your information is not being manipulated in such a way that makes it impossible for you to implement or deploy that exit strategy if you needed to? So that's what I was kind of coming at with eggs in one basket. I'm just saying that, you know, I know that we all have to, you know, kind of hang our colors to one mast, and we all have to kind of say, you know, we're going to use PTC, we're going to use the TechCom suite, we're going to use WebEx Systems, we're going to use whichever solution it might be. All very good solutions, all working exceptionally well for many, many organizations. But, you know, just make sure that all of these solutions that you guys might be using, you have an exit strategy. You know how you can get out of an environment and into another if you needed to. So that's my 16 minutes eggs in one basket podcast. I am really enjoying putting these together, and I'm thanking you all for the comments that we're getting. I'm loving the comments that we're getting over from you, and suggestions on topics as well, which is always nice to see, because whilst I have a massive list of topics, it's always nice to hear the challenges that you are facing, and I'm always happy to answer those questions for you directly and specifically in a podcast. So if you like what we're doing, please do subscribe, share, and pass around all of your technical information, colleagues, friends, and contacts, and I will see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to the TDW podcast. Remember, you can keep your tech data skills current and relevant with a full TDIQ subscription. Visit www.techdataworld.com for more details. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for your next Tech Data World update. Until next time.